Ladies and gentlemen, from the Pasadena Civic Auditorium, before an audience of servicemen located here, Bristol Myers, the makers of Ipana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile. With Marlena Dietrich, Dinah Shore, Burt Gordon, the Mad Russian, Cookie Fairchild's Orchestra, the Ambassadors, yours truly, Harry Von Zell, and starring Eddie Cantor.
Thank you. Thank you, Harry Von Zell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Harry, look at the size of this auditorium. It holds 2,000 soldiers or 4,000 sailors.
Wait, how come it holds twice as many sailors?
Tight pants, Harry, tight pants.
No, but really, Eddie, this is really a serviceman's town, isn't it?
That's right, Harry. That's why they had a blackout here last night.
Why?
They were moving a truckload of civilians.
Oh, now, the girls are doing their bit, too, huh, Eddie?
Yeah, of course. You know, in our audience tonight, we have 700 hostesses. Let's give them a big hand.
Yes,
let's give them a big hand. Yes, sir?
You say that they have 700 hostesses?
Yeah, 50 to dance with the soldiers and 50 to dance with the Marines.
Now, wait, that's only 100. What are the other 600 girls for?
Harry, there are 3 sailors stationed here. What a... You see? They're part of my family.
Well, Eddie, tell me this. What qualifications must the hostesses have here in Pasadena to get a job?
Well, the boys are very strict.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the hostesses have to be beautiful women.
Yes.
That's all, brother.
Well, you know something, Eddie? I'm kind of lonesome in this town. I sure wish that I had a date.
Well, what kind of a girl would you like, Harry?
Well, I'd like a big, tall blonde with a beautiful face and a gorgeous figure. Where can I find a girl like that?
Call up the Army Ordnance. They can deliver anything. Gosh, you know, Harry Von Zell, I'd love to be in the Army, but I don't even know how to get in touch with the service. I can't even call up my draft board anymore.
Well, why not?
My draft board was drafted. Oh, they touch you. If your body's warm, you go. Oh, yeah, everybody.
I don't know, Eddie. That sounds...
Really, Harry, I'm so embarrassed seeing all these servicemen. You know, I've tried so hard to get in, but so far they haven't accepted me. I'd give anything to be in uniform. Hello?
Mr. Cantor, your application has been accepted. Report in uniform tomorrow.
In uniform? As a private, first class, United States Army?
No, as an usher, second balcony, Fox, Pasadena.
Well, now, Eddie, listen, don't feel badly about it. Pasadena is a wonderful city, the home of the Rose Bowl games.
You remember how we used to come here New Year's? Oh, wasn't that wonderful,
Harry?
Every
year, yeah.
Who can ever forget those Rose Bowl parades and all those floats? All those beautiful flowers. Gee, I can take a deep breath and smell. Where's the rest of this joke, Harry? Where...
That's all there is.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
No, I'm kidding, Eddie. I don't blame you for being enthusiastic about the Rose Bowl parades in Pasadena.
You know, Harry, Pasadena's the home of a lot of wealthy people. The wealthiest people in this country live in this community here in Pasadena. Yeah.
Yes.
That is, it was until March the 15th. Now they're as poor as anybody else.
No, it still is, Eddie. There are people here who were born with $1 million in their pockets.
Born with $1 million in their pockets?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's a mighty tidy dighty.
Oh, and have you noticed the luxurious-looking cars?
Yeah.
Some are equipped with expensive shortwave radios, you know. It isn't everybody who can hear broadcasts direct from Axis countries.
Well, they can if they listen to us, Harry. Yesterday, I heard a shortwave news broadcast from Berlin, and it sounded like this. Take it away, Berlin. Let's go to press. Heil Hitler. owing to the food shortage, dogs is rapidly vanishing from Germany. In Berlin, there is only one dog left, Heil Hitler. We are happy to announce that the people in America are starving because there is no meat. In the butcher shop, they got hanging only horse meat. You know what we lucky Germans got hanging in our butcher shops? Butchers. Comes a report of good news from America that they have frozen fats and butter. Comes a report from the Russian front that the only thing that is frozen with the Nazis is the Nazis. You know, the RAF has bombed some of our Berlin industrial centers at exactly 4 p.m. every day for weeks. But to the German people in those factories, Goebbels says you don't have to be frightened anymore at 4 p.m. With our new air defense system, the RAF cannot get near you. This is 4 p.m., Boulevard watch time. In closing, let me say to you people that for many weeks, the Führer was absent from public life and the Allies was going crazy, wondering why the Führer did not show his face. The answer is simple. If you had the Führer's face, would you show it? For now, we shoot the mic to our Aryan brothers in Japan. Take it away, Tokyo.
This is Tokyo. We bring you now ace Nipponese newscaster, H.B. Matsuoka.
Flashy. Food shortage in United States so serious, soldiers forced to eat deer meat. In every camp, the privates are saying, shoot a buck, shoot two bucks, pass the bone. Flashy flash. Japanese, very sorry, we cannot enter afloat in next Pasadena Tournament of Roses. After inspecting our warships that fought in the Bismarck Sea, we can't find anything that's afloat. Good night.
Fellas, you can keep on applauding because here she is, radio's number one singer, lovely Dinah Shore.
Hello, Mr. Cantor. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Dinah.
You know, last night I danced with a boy from the Ordnance Corps. He's a private.
First class?
I'll say he is. He told me my eyes were like limpid pools of deep Pacific water. My mouth was as fresh as a jewel-kissed rose. My hair was like the silken-spun rays of an autumn sunset. Mr. Cantor, he was an intellectual wolf.
Tell me, Dinah, tell me, what happened?
Well, he took me for a drive. He parked the car on the side of the road, turned off the headlights, and then...
Yes, Dinah?
He showed me how his Mickey Mouse wristwatch shines in the dark.
Oh, I don't believe it. I know this guy.
You know, the boys here must like you too, Mr. Cantor. I heard that when you arrived at the ordnance camp, they gave you a 21-gun salute.
Yeah, but they aimed it right at me.
They did?
Yeah. Now I'm wearing a salute suit with a lead tread. Dinah, listen, I know you're not a bit conceited, but I'm going to tell you something.
What, Mr. Cantor?
Today at lunch, Harry Von Zell and I were at a restaurant where they had one of those great big machines that play phonograph records, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this is on the level, Dinah. In an hour and a half, people played your record, You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, 7 times.
Gee.
Yeah, that's right, Dinah. You know, I'm thinking of making a phonograph record for restaurants myself. Sort of a Von Zell super duper.
Are you going to sing, Harry?
He doesn't have to sing. He's got a better idea, haven't you, Harry, huh?
I think so, Dinah. You see, I figured that when people are eating is a good time to remind them that the soft, well-cooked foods we enjoy nowadays, delicious and nourishing as they are, may not give our gums enough work and exercise to keep them firm and healthy. And since healthy gums are so important to sound teeth and sparkling smiles, we'd also remind them of Ipana toothpaste and massage. For instance, you'd hear this on the record.
Ipana toothpaste is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, But when used with massage, it is especially designed to help keep gums firm and healthy.
And then we'd recommend this easy, modern routine.
Brush your teeth regularly with Ipana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
Do that faithfully, ladies and gentlemen, to help yourself to healthier gums and more sparkling teeth. To a smile of beauty with Ipana and massage.
And now Dinah Shore sings Black Magic.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts to try. And down and down I go, round and round. Like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame. Aflame with such a burning desire that only your kiss put out the fire. For you're the lover I have waited for, the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, darling, down and in a spin, loving the spin I'm in, under that old black magic called love.
I've got a surprise for you. I'd like you to meet one of the most glamorous ladies of the cinema, who is one of Uncle Sam's civilian soldiers, has done so much selling bonds, visiting the camps and hospitals all over the country. She's anxious to do her bit by being a hostess to the boys here, the star of Universal's new hit, Pittsburgh, lovely Marlena Dietrich. Hello, Marlena. How do you like this reception, huh?
Eddie, I didn't realize I was so popular. My phone has been ringing ever since I got here.
Yeah, but Marlena, I thought you had a private number.
Yes, every private has my number.
You know, this job isn't going to be so easy. You'll have to be a hostess to sailors and ordnance men, you know?
What's the difference?
Well, a sailor will try to kiss you after he's been with you for only 5 minutes.
And an ordnance man?
He ain't going to waste those 5 minutes. Marlena, you must be very anxious to be a hostess. I heard that you visited the dance palace here last night. Is that right?
Yes, and I was so embarrassed. While I was standing near the bandstand, a soldier put his arm around me, and I had to tell him I can't dance.
Well, what did he say?
He said, I can't either, but ain't this fun?
I'll leave it to those soldiers. You know, and the sailors, too. The other night, I was there at the dance crowd when one gob was so embarrassed.
Embarrassed? Why?
After the first dance, he forgot himself and swabbed the floor, you know.
Did he have his girlfriend with him?
What do you think he was swabbing the floor with? Huh?
Eddie, what other duties will I have as a hostess? Will I have to wait on tables? Will I have to wash dishes?
Wash dishes? The way these guys eat? Marlena, before they let go of a plate, they lick it for 10 minutes. Why, half of them here have dish rag tongue. Honestly.
Well, they must like the food here.
Why not? It's wonderful. Of course, I don't like to say this, but personally, I think my butcher has been giving me horse meat, Marlena. Really?
That's silly. What makes you think he has been giving you horse meat?
Every time I go into his butcher shop, a jockey jumps on the same scale with my roast beef. But don't worry, Marlena. I'm sure you'll like it here working as a hostess.
Yes. I'd be glad to get away from Hollywood. They've got wolves there.
What do you think they got in Pasadena? Mice? Marlena, maybe I can give you a few tips. You know, in my next picture, I play a male hostess to the women sailors.
Really? What's the title?
100 Waves and a Drip.
Eddie, if they want a hostess for their women sailors, why are they taking you?
Well, they want a man.
Answer my question.
Well, never mind. You know, those women sailors are all right. They do everything the regular Navy does. Last week, the Naval Recruiting Station put up a sign, "The Navy needs men." And right next to it, the Waves put up another sign, "So do we." Don't worry, Ida, I'm just fooling. How do you like that, Marlena?
You really like those Waves, don't you, Eddie?
Oh, yes. I wish I could get in the service, any branch of it. You know, I'm in great shape, Marlena. Honestly, only last night I had my army physical.
Your physical?
They gave me one test after another. Finally, the doctor handed the kid next to me a slip of paper that said, Class 1A, Camp MacArthur. Then he gave me a slip of paper.
What did it say?
Vitamin B1, Pasadena Drugstore. You know, I actually love those vitamin pills. I don't like to admit this, Marlena, but this noon, I saw an MD's valise backstage, and I just couldn't resist it. I swiped 12 Army vitamin pills and swallowed them, all 12 of them.
12 Army vitamin pills? Didn't they affect you?
No, except that every time I see an officer, my stomach salutes him and goes like that, you know? There must be a lot of officers here tonight, don't you think?
I guess when I'm a hostess, I have to be ultra-social with the officers.
Of course. You're here in Pasadena, you'll have to attend the opera and carry a lorgnette, you know?
A what?
A lorgnette. That's a dirty look on a stick.
Eddie, I did plan on wearing jewelry tonight, but I can't seem to find my pearl necklace. It was in my bag backstage.
What sort of a bag was it, Marlena?
It's got my initials on it, M.D.
M.D.? Pearl necklace? Oh-ho! I wondered why those 12 vitamin pills were strung together, Marlena.
Eddie, you swallowed my pearl necklace that cost thousands of dollars. What are you going to do about it?
What can I do? I'll just have to let you wear me home. Let's go. Harry.
Yes, Eddie.
Harry, tell me, what do you think of Marlena Dietrich, Harry?
Oh, well, I haven't noticed particularly, Eddie.
No?
You mean that lovely blonde hair and her beautifully tailored navy chalk-striped suit and soft white blouse and the stunning blue bag she's carrying?
You didn't notice her, huh? You didn't notice her?
Oh, well, what do you think? No, Eddie, she's all I dreamed she would be. Really, yeah. She is, but Pasadena isn't.
What do you mean? I don't get it. What was the idea?
Well, I don't know. There was a time when I dreamed of being crowned with glory here as the star of the Rose Bowl football game.
Yeah, but I know you...
I was going to take over all the plays and execute them. I would run up and down the field with a firm grip on that egg-shaped pigskin while thousands cheered.
Harry, listen, I know...
But now of what importance is poor little me? You take over all the jokes and execute them. You run up and down the stage with an infirm grip on an egg-laying script while thousands yawn. Me, I'm nothing at all, just a nothing.
Oh, Harry, stop. You've got... What do you mean?
I'm a nothing.
You're not a nothing. You're forgetting that you've got something helpful to say to all our listeners. And anybody who can be helpful to so many people is mighty important. Now, will you please go ahead and say it? Go on.
Yes, all right, Eddie, just as you say. And I sincerely hope, ladies and gentlemen, that it is a help to know that whenever you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and under the weather due to the need of a laxative, you will feel better faster if you remember to take Sal Hepatica right away. Because then Sal Hepatica brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And that means you don't have to put off till night taking the laxative you need in the morning. And as a result, risk feeling miserable the rest of the day. It's good to know this about Sal Hepatica, too.
Sparkling Sal Hepatica also helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again.
So tonight or tomorrow, get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist. Then anytime you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
You know, Eddie, I've been in Pasadena for a couple of days, and so far I haven't met any of the wealthy aristocrats you've been telling me about.
Well, Marlena, you're very fortunate. We happen to have with us tonight the number one socialite of Pasadena. He's a millionaire, a real blue blood, speaks with a thick British accent, and always drops his H's when he says,
"How do you do?"
Ted Gordon, the Mad Russian. Russian?
Yes.
Yep. I told Miss Dietrich that you were an aristocrat.
Yes. Aren't you a white Russian?
Mind dear you, I would be a white Russian, but for one thing.
No ancestry?
No soap.
Russian,
yes.
Please behave yourself. You're in the presence of a lady, a beautiful lady. You know, Miss Dietrich has one of the slimmest figures in pictures.
That's right, Russian. Why, you can put your hands around my waist.
Thank you, I would be delighted.
Wait a minute! Oh, Russian, you silly goose.
Barlunya, my chauffeur awaits us in my car. Let us get in the rumble seat, and we shall drive to the Easter parade.
But, Russian, the Easter parade isn't for several weeks.
With you in the rumble seat, who cares?
Stop, Russian.
Very well.
Stop, will you please?
Very well.
I told you Miss Dietrich is a lady.
I'm sorry, I can't accept your offer, Russian. You see, tonight I'm dining with the upper set.
The meat may be tough. Better take the lower set, too.
Nope, nope. Russian.
Yes, my dear.
Would you stop staring at Marlena?
I can't help her. Marlunya Honya, my sweet Petunia. I love to look at your face from the front and from profile. I love to look at you from different angles.
No, no, no. Angles, not ankles.
You look at what you like, I'll look at what I like.
Oh, I should never have told Miss Dietrich that you were a social lion.
But I am! I am! In Russian society, I was known as the Petrograd Playboy. In my stables, I had 12 horses, 11 polyponies, and an old gray mare.
What happened to the old gray mare?
What happened to the old gray mare? I married her.
Now, wait a minute. What a sportsman. What other animals did you have, Russian?
Well, last week in Pasadena,
yeah,
I entered my prized Russian wolfhound in the annual dog show, and he walked off with second prize.
Second? Who won the first prize?
Congratulate me.
Tell us, Russian.
Yes?
What do the members of your family tree look like?
I don't know. They won't come out of the tree long enough to let me look at them.
Oh, look at you, Russian. You knew Miss Dietrich was going to be here. Why didn't you shave?
Yes, you look positively gruesome with that beard.
You think my beard is gruesome, eh? You should see what's underneath.
We're afraid to look. Russian, tell us all here, what makes you so simple and so homely?
It's a sad story. It's a sad story. It's a sad story. Listen and I will tell you. When they were passing out noses, I thought they said roses, so I said, "Give me a red one." When they were passing out ears, I thought they said beers, so I said, "Give me two big ones." When they were passing out looks, I thought they said books, so I said, "Give me a funny one." When they were passing out brains, I thought they said pains. So I said, "Don't give me any." Ain't I a mess?
Okay. Marlena, would you let me apologize for the Russian?
Apologize? Remember, Eddie, he's doing the best he can to make people happy, to lift their spirits.
That's right. And he's but one man, if that's what you want to call him. But think, Marlena, of an organization that can lift the spirits of all our boys here and in every part of the world. I mean the American Red Cross. It's a big job, and to do it, they must have $125 million.
What?
Russian, Eddie just said that the American Red Cross needs $125 million.
Don't look at me. I ain't got it.
No, listen. You don't have to have it. If every one of us makes some contribution, the Red Cross would soon be out of the red.
You see, the Red Cross is right up there on the front lines with our boys, fighting. But it's fighting a different kind of war. A war to save lives, not to destroy them. To nurse the wounded, to supply food, medicine, and clothing from home to American prisoners of war.
Our boys on foreign shores need these angels of mercy. They need your money to send helping hands across the sea.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is no time to ask for Red Cross contributions. In behalf of American boys who have been wounded, in behalf of American boys who are yet to cry out for help in the lonely wilderness of a battlefield, we must demand $125 million.
Remember, the Red Cross is your cross. Carry it. Thousands of lives depend on your contributions. Give to the Red Cross now. Give and let live. Marlena, you were talking about an old record of mine that you heard the other day. You know, I think that record is just as timely today as it was when I made it during the First World War.
Why don't you sing it, Eddie?
Okay, Cookie, let's go. Taxes here and there, taxes everywhere, taxes every place that they can be. Though I'm getting by, still I can't deny, there's a tax I know would ruin me. I wrote my congressman a note. I said, if you want my vote, don't put a tax on the beautiful girls. How can I live without love? You can tax my business and all that I own, but have a little pity, leave my pleasure alone. What'll I do on a beautiful night if I should happen to fall? Suppose that I'm about to kiss a beautiful maid. What if she discovers that my tax isn't paid? Don't put a tax on the beautiful girls, or I won't get any loving at all. Don't put a tax on the beautiful girls. How can I live without love? You can tax my soda, I'll pay it somehow. But don't you think the price of chicken's high enough now? What'll I do on a beautiful night if I should happen to fall? But if you have to put a tax on beautiful bands, let me be the guy who goes around with a stamp. Don't put a tax on the beautiful girls. Just suppose I meet a neat trick, like the sweet and gorgeous Dietrich. She'd say, Eddie, kiss me now, dear. I say, no, they won't allow, dear. I'll go to Morgan's, dear. Oh, me, oh, my.